Here, we're going to read a verse of scripture tonight. I'm going to read it to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. I want to read to you this one verse of scripture. We'll expound a little bit on some others, but let's use this as a text, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on the subject, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Could we just lift up a praise unto the Lord one more time and give him thanks? Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your many, many blessings. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. God is so good. And it's so good to see everybody here tonight. Didn't we have a great time on Sunday? Wow. My. Amen. We had six filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God for that. Amen. We had two baptized in Jesus' name. Let's give God praise for that. Amen. And we're just thankful to God for those added to the kingdom. Amen. And we're so thankful for all that the Lord does for us. Brother Hagin preached such a beautiful message about the promise of the Holy Ghost. It's for you and your children too, and we praise the Lord. But I want to talk to you tonight for a little bit on the subject faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, this chapter is commonly known as the love chapter. It is referred to as being translated to the word charity, but it is the word agape, which is the word Greek word for love, and it is a high love, and it is truly the love of God. When the Bible says God is love, it is saying God is agape. And so 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, agape, or charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And I want to use that to kind of direct our thoughts to talk about faith, hope, and love. And I want to do it in the context of a principle established in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And it simply says that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. It is said in the context of explaining that two are better than one. And what it's saying is that if one were to fall, the other could lift them up. And then in the context of two being better than one, it goes on to say that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so using that principle, I want to talk about this 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. This is truly a threefold cord that is a blessing to the child of God. And one of the key, there's several key words in this passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. We're dealing with some of those key words, faith. We're going to talk about faith and hope and love. But I want to talk about one of the very key words that is introduced at the very beginning of this verse, and it's the word now. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. And that word now is significant because this chapter, as I mentioned, refers to love and commonly known as the love chapter. This really gives you an understanding of the importance of agape or the importance of the love of God. But it does so, not only does it describe the love of God, but then it describes a day, the day we were just singing about, when everybody will be over there. And that all of the mysteries of this world in which we live will be fulfilled in Christ. And we will no longer live in a place of things being mysterious, but instead we will live in a place of perfect understanding and clarity. And so we're going to go through this a little bit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul has just explained in chapter 12, and he'll explain more in chapter 14, the operation of the body of Christ, the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, how that the body of Christ is to be one members, many members, but of one body, how that the eye and the ear are not to negate the other or to feel superior to the other, neither the hand to the foot. They are to work in conjunction one with another. 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul is explaining how that the gifts of the Spirit operate in the body of Christ and that they are used to edify the body of Christ. But in 1 Corinthians 13, sandwiched between these two great chapters that deal with the gifts of the Spirit, that deal with the body of Christ, is this chapter that helps us understand the love of God. And we're going to talk about that love of God. And so this is what the word of the Lord says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, the Apostle Paul has just talked about the gift of tongues, and we know that the gift of tongues is a gift of the Spirit that operates in the church, and the gift of interpretation of tongues is a gift that operates to the edifying of the church. And we know that when someone receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, they will speak with other tongues. This is what occurred in the book of Acts. When people received the gift of the Holy Ghost, they spoke with other tongues. It is truly when the tongue is yielded to God, the whole body can come into subjection unto the Lord. But here Paul is saying that it is possible to speak with tongues and not have the love of God perfected in you. And if that is the case, then you really are become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And he is expressing to us that that's how important the love of God is. That even if you are endued with gifts, and even if you have been filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, then that's great. But if you don't have love, it will lose its effect. And here's an example of how that can happen. He uses the term sounding brass, tinkling cymbals. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbals. And what he's really referring to is empty sounds. If you can speak in tongues but slander in English, it's an empty sound. If you speak in tongues but you are not allowing the Holy Ghost to really bring about a powerful work in your life and getting a hold of your tongue and getting a hold of who you are, then you're not really letting the Lord do the work that he is to do. I heard somebody say, it's not okay to speak in tongues but be mean in English. And it's the truth. If you do that, then you're just becoming like sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. But that term sounding brass stands out to me. There's a story in the Old Testament when Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness and all of Israel saw that serpent and they were healed from the venomous bites of vipers that bit them, and the venom began to course through their body. But when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, they could lay their eyes upon that serpent and they would be healed of the venom in their body. It was an amazing miracle. And Jesus refers to it in the New Testament and says that even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was saying that what that serpent did for the children of Israel, that's what Jesus is going to do for all whosoever will. If they will come unto me, they can be delivered from the venom of sin. But that serpent was a fiery serpent in the wilderness. It was lifted up and it was a fiery serpent. And it was an amazing experience. But you know what they did with that serpent? They took that serpent and they set it up in the temple of the Lord, and they began to worship that serpent as though the serpent is the thing that delivered them. And that's a cautionary tale to us, that when God has done something good for us, when God has done something special, we are not to get caught up in the tangible elements of what God used. And that's why we can't let things that are not sacred, we can't let them become sacred. We can't let things that are man-oriented, we can't let them become the sacred things. It is God who is holy. And sometimes we set up the thing God used at one time as the object of our worship. And that's what they did. They set up this serpent in the temple of the Lord. And there's this serpent. Now, did God tell Moses to make it? Yes, he told Moses to make it. Did God use it? Yes, God used it. Was it on fire? Yes, it was on fire. But it was not to be worshiped. And when Hezekiah, the king of Judah, came along, he destroyed that serpent. And while he was destroying the idolatry in the land, he identified that serpent as a part of the idolatry. And when he yanked it out of the temple and destroyed it, he had a name for it. And the name for it was Nehushtan. And Nehushtan means worthless brass. Sounding brass, that was worthless brass. Now, in Acts chapter 2, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and cloven tongues appeared and sat upon each of them. And these were cloven tongues like as of fire. These were tongues of fire. But in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul described a tongue that lacks love. And he said, this tongue that lacks love is not a tongue of fire, but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. This is the same progression or digression from fire to brass that we saw in the fiery, brazen serpent of the wilderness and the worthless brass of Nehushtan. The same digression occurs with the fiery tongues of Pentecost and the worthless brass of just going through the motions but not being changed by the power of God. You have to let the power of God change you. And how does the power of God change you? Through love. Through love. And so he said, you want to turn your tongues from fire to brass? Stop loving. You want to turn your tongues of fire into worthless sounding brass? Stop falling in love with God and being loved by God and loving others. And you can talk in tongues all day. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love. It doesn't matter. It's worth nothing. It's a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It needs to be dragged out of me like Nehushtan was dragged out of the temple. And so there is the possibility that a person can become almost robotic in their walk with God, to where they've learned how to be Pentecostal. They've learned how to walk with God. They've learned it from the standpoint that they can do it without the grace of God. They can do it without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They know how to cry when the song is slow and shout when the song is fast and sit when the song doesn't fit their preference. And so it is that we have to be careful that we remain full of the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, are you ready? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. I'd like to know who qualifies for that description. Not one of us could stand and say that we understand all mysteries, that we understand all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. I want to just stop right there and say that if I met somebody who understood all mysteries, understood all knowledge, and had all faith that they could remove mountains, I'd be pretty impressed. But the Apostle Paul said, if I have all of that and don't have love, I'm nothing. That's how important love is. Listen to how important love is. Verse 3, anybody ever done this before? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Anybody ever done that where you've bestowed all of your goods? I know you've given, and I commend you for it, and I thank God for the giving that does occur. But Paul said it is possible to give every possession you own to feed the poor. Own nothing of yourself, own nothing, hold nothing back for yourself. Just give it all to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned. Anybody ever done that? Anybody here been burned at the stake before? Just show of hands. Anybody been burned at the stake? He said, I could give all I have to the poor. I could give my body to be burned and not have love. And if that's the case, it profits me nothing. You can give everything you own to the poor and do it without love. There are other motivating factors for why people could give. There are other motivating factors as to why people could give their body to be burned, and the only motivating factor that matters is love. If you do it for recognition, profits you nothing. If you do it out of competition, profits you nothing. If you do it to show how great you are compared to others, profits you nothing. The only qualifiable motivating factor for these being beneficial at all to the kingdom is if it is done with love. Otherwise, it profiteth me nothing. Are you ready for the description of the love of God? I'm going to just give you a heads up. Put on your steel-toed boots. Put on your football helmet, shoulder pads. Because we're going to look at what love is. And if this isn't a description of us, then we need to submit ourselves to the love of God. Let him love us again and let him teach us what love is. Otherwise, we don't have the love of God like we should. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long. Love is kind. I know that is sometimes a revolutionary concept. We talk a lot about kindness at Tree of Life Church. And I want to make sure it's something that we don't just talk about, but it's something that we live, something that we practice. And the reason is that love is kind. Unkindness is not connected to the love of God. Love is kind. And before we just gloss over that and think that that's meaning love is nice, I'm not just standing up here saying be nice. The Bible doesn't commission you to be nice. The Bible commands us to be kind. One to another. And that word kind is the root word for kindred. It's where we get the, it means family. So when the Bible says love is kind, it means treat one another like family. Treat one another like you love one another. Love is kind. So before you raise your voice against someone, consider for a moment, would you want that person to say those things about your family? When you begin to see someone's children struggle, how would you want your children to be treated should they be the ones struggling? And that's how you treat that person whose children are struggling. You know what you would do? You would pray for them. You know what you would do? You would pray a hedge of protection. And Lord, bring them to a place of repentance. You wouldn't treat it like they were now open season on them. Let's go after them. No, it's love is kind. Love treats people like they are family. Amen. Amen. You believe that today? The Bible says that we are to restore, those that are spiritual are to restore ones who fall. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, those that are spiritual are to restore such an one. And then it uses this term. It says, considering yourselves. And then it says, lest thou also be tempted. But I want to stop there for just a moment on considering yourselves. When you are in the business of restoring somebody, you do it in the spirit of considering yourself. and you treat them the way you would want people to treat you, and spiritual people can do that. Spiritual people have the ministry of reconciliation. Spiritual people. I'm talking about people who pray. I'm talking about people who seek the face of God. People who let the word of God be a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. These are spiritual people. And they are capable of restoring those that are overtaken in a fault. And they do so considering themselves. You consider, what if this were me? And when you begin to consider that and you think in terms of what if this were me, or what if this was my child, or what if this were my family, how would I feel and how would I respond? Considering yourselves, you're then able to enter into a dimension of compassion. And it's compassion that begins to work miracles in people's lives. Love is kind. Praise God. And he says, considering yourselves, lest thou also be tempted. That doesn't just mean considering yourself in the sense that, well, if this were me, it also means watch your step so that you don't fall into the same snare they fell into. Amen. And so that's why you've got to be careful when you're helping somebody. You've got to have plenty of coverage, plenty of accountability. You've got to be prayed up. You've got to be spiritually healthy. Don't get dragged down into their complaint. Don't get dragged down into their sin. Don't get dragged down into their habit. You are the one who is spiritual. Be not overcome with evil. Be overcome with good. And this can be accomplished through the power of the love of God. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Whoa. Boy, I'm tell you what, good thing I've got my breastplate of righteousness on, because that'll hit you right here. Because what if I do struggle with envy? And what does that say about me if love doesn't envy and I do? Love envies not. Well, what if I do envy and love doesn't? Well, I'm gonna tell you what it means. It means you need a baptism of the love of God. Hallelujah. And when you begin to be baptized with the love of God, the envy for someone goes away and you instead rejoice in their blessing. You rejoice in their blessing. And you say, that's idealistic, that's impossible. How can I rejoice in someone's blessing when I'm struggling for every breath? I'm struggling to get through the day. Well, this is what happens. You start loving them the way God loved you, and you now rejoice when they rejoice. And if they weep, you weep over what has caused them to weep. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not self-promoting. It is not lifting itself up. It is not puffed up. Love doesn't get arrogant. Love doesn't become egotistical. Love is not self-centered. Now, if this isn't describing us, then we've got some praying to do. Love does not behave itself unseemly. This means that when you have love, you're not looking for loopholes concerning how you can get away with just enough stuff that you wouldn't be able to be found guilty of a sin or a crime. But instead, you do not behave yourself in an uncomely fashion or in an unseemly way. You're not flirting with the world or flirting with someone who isn't your spouse. You're not behaving yourself in an uncomely or unseemly way. Why? Because the love of God constrains you. Hallelujah. The works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19, it lists several works of the flesh. And those works of the flesh are very prevalent in the life of human beings. And many people try and fail to overcome those works of the flesh because they try to discipline themselves out of those works of the flesh, and they can overcome some of them through those disciplines. But really what they end up doing is they reappropriate from one work of the flesh to another work of the flesh because it's their flesh doing the work. But when you let the fruit of the Spirit grow, it'll be the fruit of the Spirit that overcomes those works of the flesh. Hallelujah. How do you overcome heresy, which is a work of the flesh? Faith, which is a fruit of the Spirit. How do you overcome adultery, which is a work of the flesh? Love, which is a fruit of the Spirit. How do you overcome strife, which is a work of the flesh? Peace, which is a fruit of the Spirit. So this is how you overcome these things. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Anybody remember your mother telling you to behave? Amen. That's a compound word, and both parts of that word are important. Your behavior, how you behave, will determine who you will be and what you will have. It's be and it's having. That's what behaving is. And how you do that will determine who you will be and what you will have. And so behavior is important. And love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek her own. Love seeks the well-being of others. My goodness. Believe that and practice that until it becomes not your second nature, but your first nature, your only nature, that you seek the well-being of other people. Praise God. If hold the door open for them, if give them the better seat, give them the better. If there's two hamburger patties left, give them the better hamburger patty. Amen. If there's two pieces of pie left, give them the better, most appealing piece of pie. Why? Love. And you say, but I want that piece of pie. I know you do. That's why you need to be baptized with love again. And, amen. We all want that piece of pie. It's a good practice to go ahead and give them the piece of pie till we have faces. Practice it until it becomes not your second nature or really your first nature, but your only nature. Praise God. And so look out for the well-being of others. And this is important, verse 5. Love is not easily provoked. We live in an angry world. My goodness. We live in a world where you got to be careful with road rage anymore. You don't need to just spout off like you used to anymore. You got to be careful out there. No reason to get all caught up in tantrums, because love is not easily provoked. Things should not trigger us the way they used to. And if they do, this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of, let's put this mirror up and let's... That's what the Word of God is. It's a mirror, and it gives us a glimpse of who we're supposed to be. And now we can look in the mirror and say, okay, love is not easily provoked. Let me look and see if that's my story. And if you are easily provoked, then there's growth that needs to occur. Praise God. Amen. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. I like to say, instead of give people the benefit of the doubt, I like to say give people the benefit of the faith. Give people the benefit of the faith. And we'll talk about faith here in a moment, but give them the benefit of having knowledge that God is in control. God is great. Amen. God is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And He can move upon their heart. So I give them the benefit of the faith. Love thinketh no evil. Love does not devise mischief. Love does not look for ways to bring people down. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love does not find its pleasure in iniquitous behavior. Love does not find its pleasure in other people's iniquitous behavior. Love does not entertain itself with iniquitous activity, but love rejoices in the truth. You know what really blesses us and gives us joy and causes us to rejoice? When we rehearse the truth of God over and over in our hearts and minds. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That means through the day you're meditating upon his word, and when you go to bed, meditate upon his word, and your mind is going to be active while you sleep. It's going to be active. That's why you dream. That's why you'll have people show up you haven't seen for 20 years, and they'll be talking to people you met last week, and they'll be sitting in a restaurant you almost went to yesterday, and you'll wonder, how in the world did all that come together? Because your brain is active while you sleep. When you meditate in his law day and night, your mind is then opened to the things of God while you sleep. And you can entertain the word and the presence of God all through the night and wake up refreshed and ready for another day. And actually, God can speak to you even in your dreams. I'm not saying every dream comes from God. Some of it came from LaRosa's. I understand that. But God can minister to you even while you sleep if you'll meditate in his word day and night. Praise God. Praise God. So love rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things. That means that love will come in and endure with others. Love will suffer through things. Love will endure all things, which is what the scripture says here. It believes all things. Now, that doesn't mean love is gullible. Love believeth all things. Does not mean that love is gullible. It means that love maintains faith in all circumstances. Love maintains faith in all circumstances. Love hopeth all things. Love never loses hope. Love endures all things. Love is not going to run and hide. Love is not going to be fickle. The love of God, not the love of God. The love of man, yes. Good luck with that. You roll your eyes at me the wrong way and the love of man, forget you. But the love of God, totally different story. It endures all things. When you've got the love of God in you, you don't turn your back on people. When you've got the love of God in you, you don't turn your back on people out of spite. I understand there are times the Lord says, shake the dust off your feet. I understand there are times the Lord says, mark those who cause division. I get all that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we, out of spite, burn a bridge and cut people off because we want to teach them a lesson or two. And it's not out of a healthy boundary, but out of spite and frustration. That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. Charity never faileth. Love never fails. Get these three words and put them in your spirit and plant them deep in your heart and apply them to everything you do in life. Love never fails. Apply it to everything. Apply it to your marriage. Apply it to your work. Apply it to ministry. Apply it to relationships. Apply it to conversations. Apply it to your finances. Apply it to every aspect of your life. Apply it to the way you parent. Apply it to everything you do. Love never fails. It never fails. But now here's where he starts talking about some interesting things, okay? Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now he's not talking about prophecies being weak or inadequate. He's talking about the fact that there's coming a day when we won't need prophecy anymore. We just sang about that day. Everybody will be happy over there. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation right now. He's talking about it in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation right now. One day, prophecies will fail because we won't need them anymore. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. There's coming a day in glory where we won't need speaking in tongues because we will be in glory. And whether there be knowledge, there's going to be knowledge that you have at the moment. It shall vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So we won't need prophecy or tongues when we reach that golden strand, because those are gifts of the Spirit to edify the church right now in this mortal body. But one day when this mortal puts on immortality, what we know in part shall be done away. What we prophesy in part shall be done away. I won't need to give you a word of knowledge. You'll have all knowledge. I won't have to give you a word of wisdom and glory. You'll have all wisdom. And notice what he says. He said, when that which is perfect is come. Okay, he's talking about heaven. He's talking about the perfection of all things, the completion of all things. When that which is perfect is come. There are some people who try to say that Paul is saying here that prophecies will fail and tongues will cease. And so we don't have any prophecy and now we don't have any tongues. That's false teaching. Tongues and prophecy will fail and cease when we enter into glory, when that which is perfect is come. Then that which is in part shall be done away. And he tells the church at Ephesus that we are being grown up unto the perfect man. But here in verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 13, he describes us as children. And he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. He's using the analogy of physical development to describe how the church operates. We're operating right now as children. That's why we have childlike faith. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's using the analogy of physical development from childhood to adulthood, and he's likening it to the church in the earth versus the church perfected. The church in the earth speaks as a child, understands as a child, thinks as a child. But the church perfected is the man, the perfect man. We are grown up under the perfect man, the fullness of the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 12, for now, and that's the key word, and I talked about this at the beginning of verse 13, now, he's talking about now. Not when that which is perfect has come, but now. Now we see through a glass darkly. We feel after the Holy. We've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. We get a little dream. We get a little vision. God speaks to us. He moves upon our heart. We're walking by faith and we're feeling after the things of God. It's the equivalent of seeing through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. This means you are going to have full, real, true knowledge. And so the knowledge you have now, that's knowledge in part, and it's going to be done away, and God's going to replace it with the fullness of knowledge. So you've heard the term peace that passes understanding. How many love the peace that passes understanding? How many have ever been in the middle of a crazy period of life and all of your world was collapsing around you, and out of nowhere, peace came like a river and it made no sense. It surpassed your understanding. You thought, I shouldn't even have peace. In some cases, you felt guilty for having peace because you knew you should be sad. Shouldn't I be sadder than I am? These are sad circumstances. I've had people tell me, I don't know why, but I just haven't cried. Is there something wrong with me? No, he's given you peace. Enjoy it. Thank him for it. It's peace that surpasses understanding. But the peace we have over there will not be a peace that passes understanding. It will be a peace that comes from understanding. We will understand it better by and by. In fact, we could even say we will understand it fully by and by. I'll go ahead and tell you that's how God is going to wipe away every tear from your eye. It doesn't just mean that you won't cry anymore. It means that every tear you have ever shed, God is going to reconcile it. God's going to bring closure to it. God's going to resolve it. God's going to make sense of it. Hallelujah. And that knowledge that is in part, you only knew one side of the story. But when you get into perfection, that glorious city that he has prepared for us, you will not know just one side of the story. The other half will have been told. We are the queen of the south. We are the queen of Sheba, who has come from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And we have come from the uttermost. We've repented from our sins. We've turned from our wicked ways. And we have come unto Jesus, who is greater than Solomon. And like the queen of the south said to Solomon, she said, your wisdom, I came expecting something, but she said, the half has not been told. I have heard of your fame. I have heard of your wisdom, but the half has not been told. And that's what we're going to find out when we reach that perfection of his church. What we know of it brought us out of our sins. What we know of it caused us to turn our back on our wicked ways. What we know of it made us say goodbye to the pleasures of this world. What we know about it, hallelujah, caused us to say, you can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. That's what we knew in part. But when we see it for what it is, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, hallelujah, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that which is in part shall be done away, and we will be captivated by the power and the glory and the goodness of our God. Hallelujah. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And brings us to verse 13. And now abideth, abideth. Now abideth. He's got us then face to face. Then know as I also am known. Then that which is perfect has come. Then. But now he brings us back to 2024. He brings us back to this space of time, this place where we live, and says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Do you mean to tell you why love is greater than faith and hope? Because we won't need faith or hope in that city. We don't need them. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, we are saved by hope, and hope that is seen is not hope. For if a man can see it, what doth he yet hope for? When I get to that city, everything I have ever hoped for, I will see it. It will no longer be a desire. It will no longer be a wish. It will no longer be a dream. It will no longer be a destiny. It will be my reality. I will not just be up here singing about a body that'll never grow old. I'll be living in a body that'll never grow old. I won't just be up here hoping for a place with no sickness. I'll live in a place with no sickness. I will stand and sing with the saints of all the ages. It won't be a hope. It will be my reality.
It will be where I live, move, and have my being. I will drink from the crystal river. Hallelujah. I will eat of the 12 manner of fruits of the tree of life. I will live in the place that I had hoped for so many years. Hope is what I need now. I won't need it then. Faith. I won't need faith there. I walk by faith, not by sight here. But there I will see it all. My God, have mercy. Hallelujah. I will see it all. It will all make sense to me. I will see it in one glorious panoramic span of revelation. It will all make perfect sense to me. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. Hallelujah. Hope is not seen. Hope is something off in the distance. Hope is elusive. Hope is something I can tell you about and talk about, but you can't see it or touch it or feel it. But faith lets you touch it and feel it as best you can. It's the substance. James said, I will show you my faith by my works. You can see my faith when I come to church and worship God. And you see that faith. You see my faith when I obey God and I repent of my sins and I get baptized in Jesus' name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can see what I'm hoping for by observing my faith. Faith is observable. It is not an invisible mental acceptance. Faith is substance. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. My God, there are things in the Holy Ghost you cannot see. And it is the faith of God's people that is the evidence of those things that people can't see. Glory to God. Be faithful. It's the evidence of an invisible city. Be faithful. It is the evidence that Christ died upon the cross. Be faithful. It is the evidence that the Holy Ghost is being poured out upon all flesh. Be faithful when you're going through tough times. Be faithful when you feel disheartened. Be faithful when you get bad news. Be faithful when your family's going through a crisis. Be faithful when you're going through a trial by fire. Be faithful when you feel discouraged. Be faithful when you feel hurt or offended. Be faithful. It's the evidence of things people can't see. They may not be able to see sins being washed away, but your faith is the evidence that your sins were washed away. Glory to God. But in that city, I won't need evidence of things not seen, because all things will be seen so clearly, so perfectly. So pristine will the sight of all his glory be to us. I won't need faith when that which is perfect has come. And I won't need hope when that which is perfect has come. But love, whoo, hallelujah. Love never fails. Tongues, I won't need tongues in that city. I won't need prophecies in that city. I won't need faith or hope in that city, but love. Love. Hallelujah. John said, I saw that city. I saw the dimensions of it. He said there were it was four square. It sat four square. The length of it and the breadth of it were equal, and the height
was 144 cubits, and the depth was 12 foundations with 12 names of the apostles on it. 12 times 12, 144. So the depth and the height were the same measurement, and the length and the breadth were the same metric. And he was saying that the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of that city was four square. That city sat four square. Paul tells us what those metrics are. He said the length, the breadth, the height, the depth is the love of God. It's the love of God. That's the metric of this city. That's the measurement of this city, is the love of God. I'm going to tell you how close, this is where you're closest to heaven. When you're loved by God, when you love others, when you love God, and when you do it now. That's the closest you will get to heaven here on earth. That's the city. He loves me. I love you. I love him right now. Ooh, those are the four dimensions of the city. I'm not waiting to love you, and I'm not waiting to love him, and I'm not waiting to be loved by him. He loves me now. I love you now. I love him now. That's the four square city. That's why love is greater than faith. That's why love is greater than hope. Oh, God forbid we ever believe that lie of, well, we're going to talk about the love of God again. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because when everything else fails, the love of God will never fail. When faith is no longer needed, the love of God will be the foundation and the length and the breadth and the height of this city. When hope is no longer needed, the love of God will be forever settled, and it will be the length, all the dimensions, the breadth, all the dimensions, the height, the depth, the foundation of this city is the love that God has for me, and the love that I have for you, and the love that I have for him. That's why he said, you know, he said, I gave it to Moses in 10 commandments, and he gave it to you in 613 commandments. But if you really want to break it down, I'm going to tell you how to live in this city. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, if you want to do something for God this week, be perfected in love. You want an action item from tonight's Bible study? Love! And be loved by God. If you're having trouble loving somebody, be loved by God again. I wish I could love them, Pastor, but they are just, man, they drive me crazy. You know what? I think you need to be loved by God again. I think you need to be reminded who you were before he found you. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna give you three words that ought to change your whole life forever and ever and ever. Here they are, three words. God loves you. You think that's pretty basic? You think that's pretty basic? And oh, that's kind of general and vague. Let me remind you who God is. All knowing. That means he knows stuff about you that you don't know about yourself. That means he knows everything about you that not a soul in this room knows. He knows things about you that you wouldn't want anybody to know. He knows it all. And he loves you. Not love you? How dare I not love my neighbor if I'm going to accept his love for me after what he knows about me, after what he has forgiven about me, after what he has shown mercy concerning me? How dare I not forgive you? How dare I not show you mercy? How dare I not be loving to you and your family and your children and the neighbor and my enemy and those who curse me? How dare I? God loves me, and that makes me to love you and you and them and whosoever will. When you start operating in that dimension,
Hallelujah. You're walking in as close a place to heaven as you can be. And I'll say it to you the way Paul said to the church at Ephesus. You are sitting in heavenly places. Glory. Ha. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Yeah, everybody will be happy over there. Of course they will be, because they're going to be filled and full with the love of God. Yeah, they're going to be. Everybody will be happy over there. We will sing and shout God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Could the saints of God lift up your hands right now? Thank God for that beautiful city. Hallelujah. Come on and praise him right now. In this house, I want somebody who loves him. I want somebody who has been loved by him to praise his name, to glorify his name. He's holy and worthy and righteous and mighty. Worthy is the Lamb. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead and stand with me if you will, if you like. I'm finished. Oh, love of God. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall evermore be the saints' and angels' song. Oh, precious love of God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And here's the key. Here's the key right here. His commandments are not grievous. See, right now, your flesh feels, when I say, love those who persecute you, your flesh feels like I'm pulling your teeth. Like, oh, come on, Pastor. Love those who persecute. But I'm telling you that there's a love of God that can get so inside of you that you'll beat me to it. And say, but I love them. I want to honor them. I want to bless them somehow. How can I show them the love of God? Jesus said of the woman, he said, that poured out the oil upon him, he said, she loves much because she has been forgiven much. We have to preach the forgiveness of God. That's what's going to drive people to loving God, is the forgiveness of God. Anybody been forgiven? I want the forgiven folk to come forward right now. I want the forgiven folk to come forward right now. I'm opening up these altars. I want the forgiven people. We are the people who love. We love much. Yeah, we love God. Yes, of course, but it doesn't stop there. We love God. We love our neighbors. We even love our enemies. We love those who persecute. We love those who have hurt and wounded. We love much. Why? Because he has forgiven me of so much. Brother Michael, he's forgiven me of so much. And there's a love that's in me. There's a love that's in me. Hallelujah. Come on, God's going to strengthen your faith. Yes, God's going to give you new hope. But he's going to do it with your love, the love of God. He's going to do it with the love of God. Come on, that's it. Let's let the love of God get a hold of us right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, Lord. Lord. I sing out and remind my soul. Thank you, Lord. I am yours. I am yours. I'm forever yours. Oh, yeah. Love came down and rescued me. Love came Glory. Down and set me free. Set me free. I am yours. I'm forever yours. Oh. yes, God.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Yes.
My soul.
you see somebody praying, why don't you feel free right now just to go to them, brother to a brother, sister to a sister. Hallelujah. We never know what people are facing and what they're going through, but when they come to the house of God, they need to know that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. Hallelujah. Words of wisdom and words of knowledge. I see Sister Jennifer Flynn. It's so good to see you, Sister Flynn. God bless you. We thank God for the miracle working power in John Thomas's life. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you and give you praise for it. Hallelujah. We thank you and give you praise. You're a mighty good God, gracious and kind, oh Lord, righteous and true. And we worship you. We worship you. We praise you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Parnell, it's good to see you. We've been praying for Sister Parnell, the healing touch of God in Jesus' name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. Come on, we're in church tonight. We're in church tonight. This is the blessed house of God. Hallelujah. This is the blessed house of God. Find somebody to tell them, hey, it's going to be all right. Tell somebody you're going to make it in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. We have come unto the mountain. Hallelujah. The heavenly Jerusalem, the city of our God. Hallelujah. Unto Mount Zion. Hallelujah. The spirits of just men made perfect. An innumerable company of angels. We have come to the elevated city. We've come where love is the four square foundation and dimension of this great people. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Oh, yes, that's it. Let the love of God flow from you. Let it flow from your words. Let it flow from your hands. Let it flow from your deeds. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let the love of God flow. Is at work right now. The Spirit of the Lord is at work right now.